We are living in interesting days. I think we all are aware of how our culture has shifted from a Judeo-Christian culture to one that is now dominated by secular humanism. That's changing our view about everything. And even through this pandemic, the response to it and the different things that are being said and done are a revelation of a worldview difference in our culture. And really, as we look to the future, it's still bright because God's on the throne and the Church of the Living God is His plan throughout the ages. It's exciting. But one of the keys to the future is godly motherhood. There is no way around it. It is so key. Lord Shaftesbury said, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. I agree. In many ways, mothers, there is a great opportunity. Even if your children aren't in your home, still the impact of a godly life. You know, there's something about a mother that understands the heart of a child, especially in spiritual development. And when a mother loves the Lord, and loves the Word of God, and is walking in the Spirit, you take the mothering gift along then with the power of the Spirit, and it's just glorious to see what can happen as a mother has impact on a child. One pastor gave this perspective. He said, "My wife and I had many rose bushes in our backyard. Each spring they put out their leaves, and eventually rosebuds appeared. Ere long, they became beautiful blossoms. One of my jobs," the pastor said, "was to cut roses for the home. If I cut one while the bud was still tight, it never opened. If I got them just as they began to open, they became beautiful blossoms in the home." And children are like that. Mothers have that deep sense as they teach them the Word of God and live out the reality of Christ in front of them. They have that unique ability to know when to really lead, guide, direct their children so that they can blossom into the men and women of God that God wants them to be. It is just a glorious reality. And I want to look at a mother that's very well known from Scripture and a passage that usually is not used for Mother's Day, but one that I think will be an encouragement and challenge for mothers and frankly for every one of us as we think of the days ahead. We're going to look at the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary. Mary had a wonderful, wonderful life of privilege of rearing Jesus Christ. Now, she's not the mother of God. She is the human mother of Jesus. She bore Christ as a virgin. What a miracle. And she herself in the great Magnificat talked about Jesus, this one that she bore would be her Savior. And she goes into the behind the scenes as Christ's ministry began to flourish. And we don't see much of her here and there. It comes out because she is not to be honored as some try to honor her as the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus Christ. But we're going to see here that she is a tremendous example of a mother that has an impact. Jesus Christ lived a genuinely human life. He was affected by his mother, though he was still God, and that's hard for us to understand. But she had quite a responsibility and went through much because she bore Jesus Christ as a virgin and went through, I'm sure, much throughout his ministry, and then, of course, at the cross. There's no words to even be able to articulate what she would have gone through there at the cross. But in what we're going to see from Acts chapter 1 here today, and if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1, we can surmise very clearly the kind of life that she would have exhibited during the upbringing of the Lord Jesus. And what an example, and really what an example to just challenge all of us to realize that we are living in the age that Acts chapter 1 and 2 inaugurated. We are living in the church age. This is the age of great blessing, and it is the harvest time. It is the fulfillment of all that Christ did upon the cross. And so she's right in the middle of this. So I want to look at verses 12 to 14 this morning of Acts chapter 1. Then returned they, that's speaking of the disciples, unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. The ascension had just taken place, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with all his brethren. Let me just make this note. Prior to the cross, they had not trusted him. There's something about human pride. But the cross did it. The resurrection did it. And the brethren, after the resurrection, all of his brothers, Jude, James, became godly men and leaders within the church. For they knew the life of Jesus. They knew it was real. And so it's very significant. But Mary is there. And several things I want us to see here this morning that we can pull out of really the context of this passage here. First of all, I want us to see the importance of Great Commission mothers. Now, why do I have this as the first point? Well, you go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 1 and you have them assembled there after the 40 days since the crucifixion, and they are assembled with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and he tells them to wait for the promise of the Spirit and that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then the last thing he says to them is the Great Commission. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And at that dramatic moment when they are commissioned to reach this world with the gospel, he begins to go into the heavens. He goes through the clouds. Then there are angels there to speak to the disciples. What a moment that was. And so when those disciples returned from that event, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was right there. She understood the importance of the commission. I guarantee you those men had a glow on their face, maybe tears in their eyes. They were stirred beyond words to explain. These men had seen the angel. They had heard the Savior's commission. All of this was obvious when they came back into that room. What a moment that was. And so the very first thing that Mary and the others that were there in the upper room would have heard about was what Jesus said. And I'll guarantee you, just like she kept pondering those things in her heart that she heard from his birth on with the angels and the shepherds and so forth, she pondered this, and this became a key part of her life. Oh, those disciples, over and over during that 40-day time, had been commissioned. We have that recorded in each of the Gospels. But I think one of the most dramatic moments was when the Lord first showed himself to the disciples in the upper room in John 20. And Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As powerful and as major as the Father sending me to the earth to fulfill the great promise of salvation by the Messiah, so is my commission to you, men. That rang in their hearts along with the Great Commission that we so often quote, but let's not let this be overly familiar. There with 500 people on the shores of Galilee where Jesus had originally commissioned Peter and the other disciples, he says, and unto them in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto 2020. Well, that's an interpretation there. Even unto the end of the world, amen. Aren't you glad he's still with us? Now, sometimes mothers, in giving themselves to their children, and that's a glorious thing. We have so many distractions where mothers do so many other things than mothering. But sometimes there can be a limited perspective. But the kind of mother that Mary was, she understood Jesus had come to be the Savior of the world. She said that in that great Magnificat. And I'm sure she understood to a great deal of degree that the Messiah was come as the Deliverer. And now she was stirred again to be a gospeler. And you know, it's really interesting. As you know, on the cross, because the brothers were not saved at that point, John the Apostle was given the privilege of taking care of Mary, Christ's mother. And we know through tradition that seems pretty solid that when John went to Ephesus to pastor there, in the latter part of the century, Mary, who would have been quite old at that time, remember, she was very young when Christ was born, she was still part of the ministry. She still had a significant work, and she wasn't one of the leaders of the church. She was a faithful servant giving out the gospel. Can you imagine her witness? I want to tell you about Jesus. Oh, that's got to have been a beautiful thing. And folks, we've got to all understand, if this generation is going to be moved and we're going to see deliverance, the gospel has got to go forth. I think we have a great opportunity. But mothers, you want to raise children that love Jesus, then you've got to be thrilled about the gospel. Vance Havner said, the gospel is not something we come to church to hear, it is something we go from church to tell. And that's exactly it. I trust, mothers, that you will just be known by your children as a person that loves souls. My mother, she couldn't be around anybody without giving them a track at least, and she's constantly talking to people about Jesus. I got embarrassed on multiple occasions. I am embarrassed now that I did that, but when I look back, my mother was all about souls. I'm deeply grateful that my wife is all about souls. It makes a huge difference, mothers. Please listen to me. If you really want to see your children have a seriousness about serving the Lord, asking God for victory in the matter of witnessing is a huge deal. A while back, I mentioned about a legend, but I think it's so interesting. When Jesus returned to heaven following his death on the cross and the resurrection from the tomb, the angels gathered in amazement. They gazed at the wounds in his hands and feet and shuddered to recall his suffering. Finally, Gabriel said, Master, you suffered terribly down there. Do they know and appreciate the extent of your sacrifice? No, said Jesus, not yet. Right now, only a handful of people in Palestine know. Then what have you done to let everybody else know? I've asked Peter, James, and John, and a few others to spread the news. They will tell others, who will tell others, until the message spreads to the ends of the earth. Gabriel, knowing the nature of human beings, and he's right, asked, what is plan B? I have no plan B, replied Christ. There is no alternative strategy. I'm counting on them. And in 2020, there is no plan B. Now, even though that legend is not true necessarily, the truth of it is God gave the reaching of the world to us. Every nation has been touched by what's going on. And God can use all of us to get the gospel around the world. And mothers, oh, would you have that heart? Would you allow God to work in your life? And the good thing here is that she understood the need for God's enabling. The disciples came and said, you know, we have been clearly told to wait, not do anything, until the coming of the Spirit. Even though the Lord had given the Great Commission, he had very clearly, as I read from Acts 1:8, said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." It's after that God will give you the power. So in chapter 2, the Spirit of God came, and Mary, along with the disciples, had the enablement to be able to give out the gospel. Folks, the greatest obstacle, and I think this happens for many mothers, the greatest obstacle for witnessing is the fear of failing. Persons who witness cannot fail. The very act of bearing witness with the power of the Spirit is success. Some will receive, some will not, but I'm telling you, there's nothing sweeter than when you allow the Spirit of God to empower you to give a tract, to talk to someone about Jesus. That is a great blessing. But the problem is, we do it in our own power. And that's what the Lord knew. Disciples, don't go start witnessing until the power of the Spirit comes upon you there at Pentecost. And it's like the difference between a rowboat and a speedboat. A rowboat requires human effort, but it doesn't go very fast. A boat that moves quickly has another power source. So moms, take heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. Secondly, we see here courageous mothers. We read in verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus." Now, you've got to understand that after the crucifixion, the disciples were in this very same upper room, scared to death with the door bolted. After the resurrection, there was all kinds of a stir across Jerusalem and all around Israel because of what had happened, and all kinds of rumors, and the official leadership was doing everything they could to put down this message about the resurrection of Jesus. And again, the Spirit of God had not yet come at Pentecost. That great move, of course, would create another level. But these were wanted men. And so she identified with the apostles. She was right there. They were in danger. She didn't care. 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I'm telling you, some of the greatest heroes in the history of Christendom are women who have stood courageously against the forces of evil, who have identified with the men of God. Many times wives would not recant or cause their husbands to recant, but would stand bravely by their side as they stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many mothers have gone to the mission field and had to protect their children and be in dangerous situations because the gospel was more pure, precious to them than anything. And my friends, out of those situations come young people that realize how important Jesus is. They knew, and she knew, that she was serving the resurrected Christ who was now at the throne. What a thought for her. Jesus, who had been a baby, been a child, teenager, young adult, then the mighty Messiah, the one who died, had now risen from the dead, but her son was God. And he was at the right hand of the Father as a second Adam, in all power with the Father and the Spirit. What a thought that was. And I can tell you, she didn't care what anybody thought. And you know, moms, when we get to know Jesus, we don't care either. We need loyal people. You know, it's time in the midst of all this crisis that God's people quit worrying about themselves and get a hold of what a great Savior and what a great truth that we have. J. Oswald Sanders, who had experienced great blessings, said, "Courage is that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger or difficulty with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits. The highest degree of courage is seen in the person who is most fearful but refuses to capitulate to it." We're all fearful, but we don't capitulate to it, and the cause overwhelms us. Mary Slusser, who had a tremendous career in Calabar, which is now Nigeria, She said, "Lord, the task is impossible for me, but not for thee. Lead the way and I will follow. What should I fear? I am on a royal mission. I am in service of the King of Kings." Oh, how we need to have that heart. And she continued with all the believers. You notice that's said there in verse 14. I mean, they just stayed right there in one accord. Now, we have been isolated during this period of time. Thank God for all the Bible study groups that have been able to meet in person. Thank God for live stream and all the interaction and all the Zoom calls and all the other things that have gone on. But she was in person with 120 people. She knew in the midst of that pressured time, she knew in the midst of all that they had gone through, that she needed the other believers. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." You can see this exhortation to assemble is in the midst of provoking one another to good works, to exhorting one another, especially as we see the day approaching. And though Christians throughout all the ages have been looking for the rapture of the church, I don't think there's a generation that is more aware that there's nothing that has to happen for the coming of Christ to occur. And if there was ever a day that God's people needed to meet together, it is today. And I'm sure that Mary would exhort all of us right now, in the appropriate way as a woman, to not allow the unique situation for weeks now in which we've not assembled together to become a way of life. My friends, it's wonderful to do all of this virtual connection. But when the doors open and we begin to move forward, we are going to need more than ever to have the gifts functioning in the body, and we have got to make assembling together priority. And this is something that I think everybody realizes. Wrong habits can easily come in here. It's pretty easy just to turn on the live stream. But my friends, it has been God's plan throughout the ages, and Mary knew it. And I tell you, mothers need to make it priority, as much trouble as it is in the winter to put all those coats on and to have to change those diapers at the last minute and to do all of the different things that you've got to do to get to church. The most important thing you can do is to be with the body of believers every time they are assembled to meet, that it would be wise for you to be there, because your children need the encouragement and the exhortation of God's people around them. They need the gifts functioning. They need to see that what the priority of mom and dad is. Vance Havner again says, "There is something wrong with our Christianity when we have to beg most of the crowd to come to church to hear about it." Doesn't say much about it when we go the easy route. One pastor said, "How would you like it if your watch ticked one time and then missed the next? Your heart beat one time and missed the next. Your child missed every other day at school. The engine of your car only hit on half its cylinders." Irregularity causes lots of problems in the physical realm, and it certainly is true in the spiritual realm. Oh, we need to support one another. We need to serve. That's why we're here. That's why God's empowered us, by the Spirit of God, to serve one another. And thank God for all that's been going on. But she was there continuing in one accord with the believers. There's a legend in the village, a village in southern Europe, that a church called the House of Many Lamps used to exist. When it was built in the 16th century, the architect provided for no light except for a receptacle in every seat for the placing of a lamp. Each Sunday night, as the people gathered, they would bring their lanterns and slip them into the bracket at their seat. When someone stayed away, his place would be dark. And if very many stayed away, the darkness became greater for the whole. It was the regular presence of each person that lit up the church. And that is a beautiful illustration. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like God's people when they're together. Got to see a lot of it yesterday out in the woods. What a blessing. It's just stirring to be able to fellowship. We need one another, and she knew that too. Then thirdly, right in the middle of this, is that she was an interceding mother. We need interceding mothers. They continued together. Why? In prayer and supplication. They knew that God was going to do something very special and that Jesus had given them that great commission, and they knew they needed the power of God. And so they were in one accord with prayer and supplication. 10 days those people prayed, and who was in the middle of it? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Who was she praying to? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, through the power of God to enable her to do it. He was the intercessor, and she knew him well, and she knew it was real. By the way, one of the great proofs of the veracity of who Christ is the fact that the mother and the brethren would take time on their knees hour after hour to pray. If he wasn't real, if he was a phony, they would not have done that. In fact, James was known, became the pastor there in Jerusalem, as Old Camel Knees, because he was such a man of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings. We need to be praying right now for government leaders and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for that is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And they prayed with one accord. They had a unity. Well, I'm telling you, when God's people have a unity of heart and singleness of purpose, when a dear mother is part of that prayer meeting and they begin to see God work, it does wonders for children. 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork are inherently tuned to one another. In order to be unity, we must be tuned to the Spirit of the living God. And she depended on prayer. She knew that, and all of these folks knew that they could not accomplish what God wanted to accomplish if they did not pray. My friends, we need to bring everything to God in prayer. Mothers, every little thing, every big thing, let your life just be one answer to prayer after another. I could not ignore. There was no way for me to ever doubt the existence of God because of my praying mother and father. I saw answer to prayer after answer to prayer after answer to prayer. That was our life. It was real. God was there. Prayer was just part of our life. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you see your mom, you come in many times in her bedroom and she is praying, and I knew she was praying for me. I knew I couldn't get away with anything because she knew how to pray. And all the big and little things. A lady came to the great preacher of the last century, G. Campbell Morgan, and she said, I only take the big things to God. I don't take the little things to God. And G. Campbell Morgan replied, he said, lady, anything you take to God is little. Everything is important to the Lord. And then finally, in the context here, Spirit-anointed mothers. All of this is possible when the Spirit of God is in control. What happened after Acts chapter 1? Well, this is an obvious thing, Acts chapter 2. And what happened in Acts chapter 2? The great baptism of the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God was poured out, like Joel prophesied would happen, and Peter said it was so. What a tremendous thing that we read there. And so she understood the necessity of the Spirit. She prayed for it. And then to have the Spirit of God come into her very heart and life, and to be able to fellowship with Jesus and to know God in that intimate way, what a glorious reality. And that's what every mother needs to understand, the necessity of the Spirit. And Luke 24:49, we often quote this. The Lord Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father, that's the Spirit, upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We can't do anything without God's power. And I tell you, from the littlest things to the biggest things, Mom, a lady was in the store and her daughter was acting up terribly. And she said, Suzanne, you stop it. And I mean, you stop it right now. You control yourself. Suzanne, you get together. You get yourself together. Calm down. Settle down, I mean. Suzanne, you do it right now. Store manager heard her and was impressed to hear the mother firmly giving her daughter direction. She went over to the little girl and said, you ought to be excited to have a mother like this. So your name is Suzanne, huh? The mother piped in, no, my name is Suzanne. Her name is Brenda. And we chuckle at that, but how true it is. We look at the Great Commission, but what about the interaction? What about the self-control? What about the love? What about the wisdom? What about the direction? What about the fragrance of Christ? She understood the necessity of the Spirit, and she was filled. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty, rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Mary, and everyone else, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were able to witness. Now I want you to get this. The apostles came and told all of them there about the Great Commission from Jesus at the Ascension. And now 10 days later, after they had prayed, guess what Peter and James and John and all the others were doing? They were preaching the gospel, some in other languages, miraculously, for all the people from the different backgrounds that were there at the Feast of Pentecost. And so was Mary able to witness with power, because all of them received the Spirit. And she proclaimed that great truth. Oh, the fire of God. Oh, that fire that strangely warmed the heart of John Wesley. That fire that has broken out into revivals from the early church on throughout history. That fire is the reality of the person of God Himself in us. And my friends, Christianity needs to be a spreading flame. One Christian writer said, when I was 9 years old and saw my mother kneeling at an altar of prayer, I was ashamed. As she knelt, everyone could see the holes in her wet shoes. She had walked to church in the snow. I was ashamed because everyone would know how poor we were. Now I'm a woman that has a child of my own. I look back at that moment with much pride. The scene comes back at times when I'm sick, weary, and discouraged. In vision, I see my mother with her gray head there at that invitation, resting on her arms, her shoulder shaking with sobs, and holes in her shoes because she provided shoes for me and my six siblings. What kind of memory are your children going to have of you? A Great Commission woman. A woman that was right there with the people of God, who knew how to pray and was filled with the Spirit. There's no greater memory. And folks, I'm preaching to moms, but every one of us, this is equally true. Dads, anyone. Oh, if we're going to see this generation, the needs met, that's the kind of people we've got to be.